The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9, and I'll be reading from the New American Bible. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, which is such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them, along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. We pray that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn, come with the rain and cleanse, come with the wind and breathe, come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Scholars tell us that this passage that was just shared is part of textual criticism known as theophany. A theophany is an appearance of the holy in the Jewish Testament. It's where Moses encounters the burning bush, where Moses encounters God on Mount Sinai, where Jeremiah is called and Isaiah is called. Those are theophanies. It's God breaking into our existence and either gently or not so gently shaking us and saying, "Hey, I'm here. Are you present?" In the Christian Testament, all four Gospels, the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Synoptic just means similar. Mark was the first one, and Matthew and Luke borrowed from Mark's earliest text and created their own story. I don't mean that to denigrate the work. It's all holy writ. Remember that. But it's they begged and borrowed and stole from others. Several of the Pauline writings have theophanies, especially the one in Damascus where Paul, an early persecutor of the church, is knocked off his steed on that road to Damascus and is confronted by the risen Lord and asked, "Why are you persecuting me?" And it changed everything, not just for Paul. But I'm not sure we'd have the church without Paul's conversion. So that's the power of theophany. Theophany is a breaking into our existence by the holy. And increasingly, because we have Google and texting and whatever else we have, our laptops and Kindles, it's harder and harder to be surprised by holiness as it presents itself to us. But it still exists. The poet Percy B. Shelley talks about it in this way, saying, "Familiar acts become beautiful through love." And if you don't think this is true, let me ask you about an experience you had either with your mother or your grandmother baking. Or an aunt, or your grandfather, for that matter. Because I had all of those experiences, and I can go back to my mother baking a special. I didn't know it was a test crust, but it was for my sister Kim and I. My sister Kimberly and I are the two youngest, and we were her guinea pigs for her pie crust for Thanksgiving. And she would make us pie crust and put cinnamon and sugar on it. Can't eat that now, or don't eat that now, but if she were around, I probably would. Because that's a holy moment for me. I carry that around in my heart, and I can literally see her doing this. And that's how familiarity breeds love. If you want to turn that 15 degrees, the ordinary can become extraordinary through a willingness to appreciate holy activity. I only live 2.5 miles, and sometimes I come the freeway, sometimes I don't. Most times when I take the freeway, I get off at Magnolia and come in one of these streets over here, Houston or another one, and I'm not going to name the street, but I noticed about a year ago, on one of those turns, I saw something that at first honestly made me laugh because I was a little incredulous. It was a man my age, maybe a little bit older, I assume from a different culture, who was wearing his pajamas and a robe and a nightcap, and he was sweeping in front of his apartment. And I thought, how strange. And then on a regular basis, as I was coming in at this time, I noted that he was there. And sometimes he was talking with somebody. Other times, he was just tidying up the front of the apartment complex where he lives. And I thought, what a really sweet thing. And I tell you, that ordinary act that started off just a little bit strange, to be honest, became a holy act. Because I, in my stupidity, did not see his dedication, his care, his service, if you will. Part of what this text invites in us is the opportunity to see holiness, to appreciate it, to embrace it, and not necessarily to agree on what all of it means. Yesterday I was part of a birthday gift I was given was to hear Marcus Borg and Dr. Dominic Cross, and they're both doctors of scholarly sort. They are, I hate this term, but it's just what fits. They are progressive Christian theologians who are looking at recapturing the understanding of what it means to be Christian in the 21st century, not by delineating from what happened in the first century. They link the first century experience of the Bible with the 21st century, and it makes sense. They don't know whether they're right, and they say so. But anyways, they talk about these kinds of experience as myth, and not in a negative way, but say that it captures the story, and they have no problem with people who interpret, be it the virgin birth or immaculate conception or resurrection, any of this, people who interpret this literally, they're fine with. They interpret it in their own understanding. Their invitation, as they pose it, coming out of the actual text, is to just read the text and understand. So if we look at the text that was read, Jesus goes up Mount Tiberias, Peter, James, and John, and something happened. They saw something in Jesus that they had never seen before. They had been hanging with him a good time. Read that, that's in the text. And they had never seen it before. But they still missed it. They want to build booths because they think he's with Moses and Elijah and Elijah. But he said, no, just experience. Just experience this. Now, I've been to Mount Tiberias, and we don't know for sure that That is the mountain that they went up, even though it's recorded so in the text. It probably is because of its height and location in the Galilee. I remember being there now 19 years ago, and I was with a bunch of dingbat preachers who were being sponsored by the Masons. I forget the branch of the Masons, but they were very lovely. They sponsored us. We went there, and we were from all over the United States, different belief systems and different understanding of what was going on. Some walked up. Most of us rode the Mercedes taxis up to the top of Mount Tiberias. And we were standing around looking at this, and it's about 2,000 feet, maybe 2,100 feet high. Not Mount Horeb, not Mount Sinai, but a good hill. And one of us said, well, we wonder if this is what it looked like when Jesus was here. And one of us, and I don't remember which one, and I hope my memory is not doing that just because I was the smart aleck that said it, said, well, you know, I bet maybe they were just out of breath. And Peter, James, and John had a vision because they were out of breath. After all, they didn't have this Mercedes to get them up to the top of the hill. And others wept because they were so moved. The point for me was then and now, are we willing to experience some kind of holiness? Is it possible that God can break in? And I don't remember whether it's Marcus Borg or Dominic Cross in our text sample who talks about the thin places spiritually where we encounter God. Marcus Borg yesterday talked about this in terms of knowing somebody who had been married a long time and lost his spouse. And then he had this very vivid dream and asked Marcus Borg about it. You know, did I just dream that? Or that felt so real. We were sitting at the table, and when she left, I felt embraced. And Marcus Borg looked at us as he was talking to us and said, and who are we to deny him that holy experience? Who are we? Well, it happens in a variety of ways. I hope you're still with me. I was supposed to be down there Friday night. I was going to stay with my friend Eric Smith and his wife Karen, and then for the evening session Friday. And I headed out on the 405 freeway, which some people tell me stands for 4 or 5 miles an hour that you're allowed to operate on that freeway. We were operating at about 20 miles an hour, and I was just past El Segundo Boulevard. And I think Normandy is the next exit. I was in the fast lane, and my car just decided to give up its life. I'm assuming that there will be a resurrection tomorrow when it makes it to the mechanic. But I stopped dead in the fast lane. Now, I don't know whether how many of you have had this experience, but it's the very first time for me. And I won't say it was a religious experience at first. Maslow in his hierarchy talks about aha and an oh shucks experience. Actually, says something a little different, but I'm not going to say that. But I thought, gee, what am I going to do? And I knew not to get out of the car because traffic was moving around me. Several people were talking to me. Some of them were waving. until I remembered to put on my flashers. And a couple of them said, oh, I'm so sorry. So I called my son, Ian, because I didn't trust my eyes without my reading glasses. To call AT&T, and I later found out I could have. So I called Ian, and Ian said, so why are you calling me? Aaron is the auto club member. And I said, because I love Aaron, but he never answers his phone. That's only partly true. Aaron doesn't answer his phone for restricted numbers, and I have a restricted number, so he doesn't answer, and then he'll call me back. Anyways, so Ian says he'll call the auto club, AAA. And just then, I hear a CHP siren. California Highway Patrol, not 50 yards away, and I assume he's coming for me. Now he's pulled somebody over to give him a citation. Doesn't see me. And drives off. And I thought, I should be more nervous than this, but this is a little comical. And then I get a call on my cell, and it's Auto Club recorded message, but telling me they will be there in approximately 10 minutes. And I thought, fine, nobody's hit me yet. Nobody's shot me or anything. I'm cool, I think. And then all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see a red Kenworth, that's a tractor without a trailer, stop. And this guy with no neck gets out of the driver's side. This burly truck driver gets out, and he, like Moses, parts the freeway. He just walks out onto the freeway, and it's moving. He walks out onto the freeway, and everybody stops. And he walks up and he said, I'm wondering if you would like to have your car pushed off to the side of the freeway. And I said, yes, sir, I would love that. And he and his partner pushed my car off. And there was a nice wide space. And he looked at me and he said, can't have a classic like that out on the freeway. And his partner said, yeah, and the car's pretty nice too. And they walked away. Never gave me their name. I'm telling you, don't tell me that God does not break in, that angels don't exist. This guy, this angel had a tattoo, but it was okay. It's okay. The long and the short is AAA came with a simple rig, hauled me off on Normandy into Costco parking lot, which I'm not fond of. I'm not a Costco fan, but it was okay. And then flatbed came and took my car home, and it will be whatever it's going to be. You know, those of you who know me know that I'm crazy about my car. I've had it a long time, and it will be just fine. But it was, at some level, a holy experience. It happens in various ways, and sometimes we're uncomfortable, and sometimes we're uncomfortable because we know the risk is more real. I don't have permission to share this, but Jeff talking brought this to my heart. Dr. Michael Kemp grew up in this congregation. I first met him when he was 12. He will be 34 in March. He is a medical doctor in the United States Navy, and he deploys for Afghanistan this week. His father is there, his mother there. His father is a decorated United States Navy aviator, having flown in Vietnam. I'm uncomfortable. I know Michael's going to be behind and be protected. He's a medical doctor, and his specialty is head injuries, and he is a brilliant man. And he's just doing what he thinks he's called to do in his heart. It's hard for me, and you hear it in my voice, to accept it. But I have to, because how holiness works is we can't always fully understand. We can only trust in the presence of God. From the moment John told me his son would deploy, I don't know whether it was 6 or 8 weeks ago, I just pray every day. And I don't know whether it's a soliloquy. I don't know whether I'm talking to myself, but I trust I am not. And so I just hold Michael and Aaron and Gracie, his family, his wife and daughter, in my heart. Just as we are called to do. Just as we are called to do with each other. Jack has cataract surgery, and I will pray with him and his family before he leaves. We are called to trust in holy acts. And God working in us and through us, calling us to do the things that we're called to do in our hearts. We each and every day have a chance to see holiness. I choose to see Dr. Michael Kent's actions as holy because he has this extraordinary gift and he is willing to share. And I thank God for his service, and I trust God to care for him and all who are serving in places that most of the time I can't name. We need to see holiness in the man sweeping on the street, in those we are riding with on the freeway, in the gas station and grocery store. Our hope for lasting peace does not rest in armament, but in acts of loving kindness. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.